Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast. I'm your host, Hunter Haley, and today I'm going to be sharing a little bit of advice to graduates, whether you've graduated from high school, whether you've graduated from college, if you've graduated from the School of Hard Knocks. I have a little bit of advice I'd like to share with graduates, and you may have been a graduate many, many years ago, so maybe you can take some of this and maybe share along with some of your other thoughts that you have as well with a graduate this year. We're in graduation season, and it's had me reminiscing a little bit about my own graduation and that season of life and things I would have liked to have been able to tell myself back in those days. But so this is just going to be a bullet point list of just some general principles, ideas, concepts, and thoughts, and no particular order, anything like that. But I wanted to go ahead and just dive in with a few things so that I can kind of share my thoughts with graduates. And kind of the what I would title this episode is Congratulations, Now What? And so what comes after graduation and how you view and approach life. And the first point I want to make is you need to be intentional about your future, but don't stress out over it. Don't worry too much unnecessarily about your future. You need to be intentional about it. You need to have a plan. You need to have goals. You need to have direction. You need spiritual direction. You need financial direction. You need vocational direction. All those things are important, but life takes time to unfold. There's a scripture verse that talks about sufficient unto the day is the trouble thereof, or something like that, or the evil thereof, something like that. Basically, what it's trying to say is that today's problems are enough. Focus on that and let tomorrow worry about itself. We've heard something along those lines many, many times, but I think this is an especially important time to emphasize that, is that you don't want to be lackadaisical in your approach to basically getting started in life in a lot of ways. But at the same time, you don't want to overly stress out about it. That can be counterproductive. I remember as a young man, I felt like I was living in a fog a lot of times. I didn't know what my direction was. I didn't know what I was going to do for a job, how I was going to make a living. I felt God's tug on my life. I felt like in some ways that God had greatness and great potential for me and in store for me, but I had no idea how to actualize that. And that was terrifying. Is I wanted to be used of God. I wanted to do big things. I wanted to be successful in many different ways. And you know, you can define success many different ways, but in my mind, I wanted to be successful, but I didn't know how to get there. But life takes time to unfold. And so if you follow the will of God, which the perfect will of God is the present duty of at hand, as it's been said before. And so if you can just do what's right in front of you that you know to do, take the next step and let God unfold the rest. Be intentional with your next step, but don't necessarily stress out about 20 steps from now. Just focus on the next step or two. Let that take that step and let that unfold, and then proceed from there. The second thing is I would recommend, or not recommend, I guess I should say, is don't go in debt for college if at all possible. I know some people view college as the only answer, and I'm blessed. I was able to have a degree, and my family helped me with that. My father and mother paid for me to go to college. I had some scholarships, and between all of that, I was able to go to college debt-free, and I worked and stayed at home and worked my way through to pay my bills and stayed at home to reduce my expenses as much as possible. And so when I graduated from college, I had no college debt. Now, I know that's not necessarily practical for everyone, but I know too many stories of people that either they went to community college, they worked hard to get scholarships, or they just worked hard and paid for it as they went. That's how my dad did it. College is a good thing. And like, you know, if you're going to make a really good high income from your college degree, then there is merit in going ahead and getting that out of the way and proceeding with life. But debt is especially with college debt, it's going to really not strangle you is the word so much as it's going to hinder you when you start to build your financial future early in life. So as soon as you graduate and you start looking at those payments, you may have a good income, but you also have this around your ankle, this debt payment that you have to make every month. And that's no fun. Again, I'm not saying in every case that it would be impossible for it to, you know, make sense for you, or, you know, you have a plan or whatever. I'm not trying to, you know, to throw stones at that. And if you just graduated from college and you've got a mountain of debt, you understand what I'm talking about. You're fixing to have to start paying payments on that. And that can be a little terrifying, right? But Dave Ramsey has a good plan for getting out of debt. I highly recommend that. But try to think of college and going and getting in debt for college. College is an investment. And when you think of it that way, there's good debt and bad debt. If it's going to be a good investment, it might be worthwhile to, you know, take a little bit of risk to take on a little debt if it's going to pay for itself. But I wouldn't go into debt to buy a super nice yacht if I didn't have a way to pay for it, right? If I didn't have a plan for that. And some people will go to college and they may be really passionate about the subject that they went to college for. And it's a really cool sounding degree, but it has no or very little practical or financial application in the real world, right? And so don't go hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt in a degree that'll pay you $25,000 or $30,000 a year. It's not wisdom. Start a business, get a job, work your way up, get a career, get a different degree that pays you money, and then go follow your passion. And later in life, get a degree in that if that's what you want. That's totally fine. I've looked at getting a college, going back and getting my master's and maybe a PhD someday. And I've actually taken one class in my master's program. And it's not to make more money, because I'm an entrepreneur. My paycheck is not necessarily dependent upon, I'm not getting a salary bonus by increasing my, you know, resume, right? But it's more for self-learning, you know, and to improve the way I think and to stretch the way I think and all that. And so you need to think of college as an investment, not a just mandatory experience, right? It's not an experience, it's an investment. And while there may be an experience attached to it, that's secondary to the investment. And a lot of people will spend time and energy and effort going through college and never crack a book, a self-help book, or a business book, or a finance book, or a personal development book, or a emotional intelligence 2.0, or boundaries, or any of these other books that actually would put you greater in position to make more money in life. Like we talk about in the Income Accelerator course, there's just some core principles and practices that if you put into place, your income naturally goes up, right? And it doesn't require a 4-year or a 6-year or an 8-year degree to do something like that. And so master those principles of life first. If college is a part of that, great. If you have to put college on hold, master some life and finance and business and whatever else to get your career going, to be able to pay for it and not go into a hole of debt. That, I think, would be the advisable plan. That's the ideal plan. But again, no one necessarily has the ideal life. And so what is No battle plan survives the first encounter with the enemy, right? So we can make all of our plans and we can have an ideal plan, and it may not necessarily 100% work out that way, but shoot for that. Try to use, you know, I think there was something called CLEP testing, where you can take tests, get out of and be able to pass college classes. You can take community classes at community colleges, things like that, and get some of those things out of the way for much cheaper. Try to pay your way through that if at all possible. Try to get scholarships, things like that. And then go into your college experience. And if you have to take on a little bit of debt to finish a couple classes or kind of push to the finish there, if it's going to be in a degree that's going to help you make money, there could be a case for that. I'm not going to necessarily deny that. But people going to super elaborate colleges out of the gate with no idea where they're going future-wise, and their degree has very little impact on their monetary future, you have to really consider, is this an investment that I want to take? Yeah. Would I go into debt for a huge vacation, you know, that I'm going to have to pay for years? Well, probably not. That no one would probably say that was wisdom, right? This is a once in a lifetime experience. It's only going to be $100,000 and I can pay for it over the next 30 years. Wait, what? Like, most people are like, no, work hard, save up your money, then go on vacation, right? Same for this, you know, it's an investment, not just an experience. And so when you put it in that bucket, college changes perspective. It's the means to an end. Yes, it expands your understanding. And yes, there can be fun experiences. You can learn a lot of great things. This is awesome. But you need to have a plan behind it. Anyway, that's my soapbox for now. I'm getting off of it. Number three was to think about AI. So artificial intelligence, I don't think it's necessarily going to take over the world, but it's going to radically change our world in the next 3 to 5, maybe 10 years. And the jobs that we see today, the careers we see today, the college degrees that we see today, the future opportunities we see today is not the same landscape and picture we're going to be looking at, again, just a few years from now. And you can either fight against it, you can either work with it, or you can work in parallel with it. And I'll explain that. So if there's AI and robotics and a lot of that, if that's a big push for the future, so you can either go get a degree in a career that's probably going to be replaced by AI, or you can say, okay, what is not going to be replaced by AI? What is not going to be easily, replaced by that? So for example, it's much easier to replace a copywriter, someone who has an English degree or a marketing degree that writes content for blogs and websites and whatever else, to be a content writer. That's much easier to replace with AI because you got things like ChatGPT and whatever else that can write an article better than you can, right? But it's much harder to replace the guy who comes and fixes your plumbing, right? And I'm not advocating that everyone has to be a plumber or work in the trades or something like that. But like, that's actually probably, that may be a more viable career for some people than pursuing some areas of more, so-called white-collar jobs or more technology-driven jobs, even like coding and stuff like that. That's going to change a whole lot. AI is now being able to spin up so many different things that you either have to learn how to work with those AI tools and master them and really roll with that, right? Or if that's not really your speed, that's not really what you're geared towards, then you have to think, okay, what is something that's not going to be easily replaced with AI? And let me pursue a career in that, starting my own, plumbing or HVAC business or a service-based business or something that is, it's going to be a long time before it's replaced by robots or AI, right? And I know that sounds crazy, like crazy talk, but you have to think about these things. You have to think about where the future is headed and what the career options you're going to have is going to look totally different than what your parents had or your grandparents had. Your great-grandparents wouldn't recognize the world you're going to live in 5 years from now. And so you want to kind of really have a clear focus of where the world's heading as much as possible, and then figure out where you fit in that picture. And like I said, you can either lean into the technology, the AI, the way the world's moving, and try to start the next big cryptocurrency, or you can use AI tools to take that job that you were doing and amplify it to become even more valuable. I think that's really where a lot of people are going to end up in the next few years, is leveraging AI tools, not necessarily replacing their job, but they're able to do more with or in their job with the tools that AI allows them to have. So again, I'm not saying just avoid certain jobs that could be replaced, but find ways to make sure that you are working towards a career that can leverage AI, not be replaced with AI. That, to sum that up, look for careers and opportunities and businesses that allow you to leverage technology, not be replaced by it. Okay. And so that's a big key factor right there. If you're thinking towards the future, whether as a high school graduate or a college graduate, look for those type of job opportunities. Look for that career. Look for that business opportunity. And again, on the opposite end of the spectrum, look for something that's not going to be replaced soon. And so number four, I would say, is look for something that you're passionate about when it comes to career, what you're going to put your life into. Look for something that you're passionate about. But also make sure it makes money, because money sometimes and a lot of times will follow passion, but not always. There's people that there's always the starving artist, and then there's the artist that has sold their latest paintings for $1 million, right? And so some of those paths look glamorous, right? YouTuber, social media influencer, singer, someone who's popular, public speaker, whatever, right? It can look like a glamorous, glitzy, glamorous, successful career, but you're seeing the very tip of the iceberg of the most successful people in their field. And you may be passionate about those things, but that may not necessarily mean that you have a realistic and statistically very high chance of making a good income doing that, if that makes sense. So, excuse me. So you want to look for something that you're passionate about, but not something, but it needs to make money as well. I'll give you an example. Someone had advised me to look into the medical field when I first was graduating from high school, getting into college. And I said, okay, I don't know what I want to do with my life. I'll pursue this. And so I was provisionally accepted in nursing school. I want to be a nurse anesthetist, maybe go on to be an anesthesiologist, something like that. Volunteered at the ER, was accepted into provisionally accepted into nursing school, you know, all these different things. And I got to the point where I realized I like working with people and helping people, but I don't like working on people. And so I was passionate about people. I wanted to make good money, but I was realizing that was not necessarily where I was wanting to put my focus. And while the medical field is a very viable option and you can make really good money in that field, it wasn't for me. And so I was not that passionate about it. Even though it made money, I wasn't that passionate about it. I switched to business and I got a degree in business and marketing management, and immediately my grades jumped. I was more passionate about it, and I've been passionate about business ever since. I mean, you're listening to the Blessed Business Podcast, right? And so I've got courses on how to launch a business. You know, I've got all kinds of content I've created around business because I'm passionate about that, right? And God's blessed me to build multiple, very, you know, relatively successful businesses that provide a good income and a good net worth for us. And through the blessing and favor of God, we've been able to do that. But I got into something that I was both passionate about, and it had the opportunity to make money. And it took me a while to figure it all out, but God's blessed us, and we're on that road. And so your journey is going to take a little while, but find something that at least has the trajectory where it can make money and do well for yourself. But also there's a level of passion or interest or desire or curiosity about it, right? You may be curious or passionate about many things. You may really like collecting a certain type of sneaker or tennis shoe, right? And in the past, most people would have laughed at that, but there's people that buy and sell high-end tennis shoes now that make more money than I do as a business owner, right? And so if you're passionate about that, try to figure out a way to connect that to a money-making opportunity. And not just a pie in the sky, hopeful one, but find a realistic path to success and lean into that. And so you can work in your passions and your interests, but to the extent that it's going to pay the bills. Because if you're passionate about something and you can't find a way to connect that to a money-making endeavor, then you're probably not going to be able to do that very long, or else you're going to starve, right? And so this kind of leads into point number five, is try everything. This is your season to explore all the possibilities. You have this unique opportunity when you're young, especially coming out of high school or college. You can fail without significant consequences. And what I mean by that is you don't have to get it right out of the gate. And a lot of people who are successful, who are business owners, or who are established career professionals, or who have had some success in life, when you come to them and say, hey, can I shadow you? Can I try what you're doing? Can I do an internship for your company? Can I try this position and that position and try something else? Or can I take on new responsibility and try different things? When you do that, people look at you differently. Like, oh yes, this is someone with initiative and drive, and like they're trying to figure out what they're doing in life, right? And so you're afforded the opportunity to try things. And even if you aren't perfect at it, or it doesn't work out, or you decide you don't like it and you move on, people don't look down on you. And a lot of times young people feel like they have to get it right out of the gate, that there's no room for failure. There's no room for learning and stumbling along the way. That is such a false paradigm. When I was in college, when I got internships, even before I was in college, I was, you know, doing jobs. I worked I worked for store credit for somewhere, but when I was like 14, before I could even earn money, right? Just to try to get experience. So try everything. Explore your passions, explore your interests, but don't spend so long exploring them that you miss out on a career opportunity. Have an intentional plan of like, I'm going to try this. When I thought I was going to the medical field, I volunteered at our local ER. I shadowed doctors. I went in and observed surgeries. I did a lot of things around that area. And then that's what helped inform me with the fact that, I really don't want to do this. It's a great career field. I like the people, all that. It's just not for me. And so figuring that out, you know, a year or two into college, while I was still in my general education and being able to switch to what later became, you know, what my passion is, business, that was so valuable. And if I'd have waited until I got my degree, worked in the field for 2 years, and then been like, I don't really like this, it would have been so much harder to start over. I would have been committed to this and either worked in a career I didn't like, or it would have been a lot more time, money, and treasure to start back over at the beginning. And how many of us have heard of people that are in their 30s, 40s, even 50s, trying to reset their career, trying to change? I knew of someone one time that was a CPA and went back to get a medical degree and tried to get into nursing and being maybe a registered nurse or something like that. And that was what a just like total opposite ends of the spectrum. We don't think of CPAs and accountants going back to nursing. We would think of the other way around, right? But this person had a, you know, a family that was grown and stuff, like kids that were grown and all these different things. And so that's a big career change. And my hat's off to him to be able to pull that off, because I believe he did. But it's so much easier to try everything now. Go work a construction job. Go work at a marketing internship. Go do a sales job. And you may be terrible at it, but just go try it anyway, right? When you're in college, do internships. That's an easy way to trial a bunch of different opportunities, right? Without it looking sketchy on your resume. And so do that. Do that as much as you can. Shadow different business owners. Shadow different business professionals. Take them to lunch. Take them to coffee. Ask them for a meeting. Ask them if you can go to work with them for a day and see what a day in the life of a XYZ professional is. And you'd be shocked how many people will actually take you up on it. And so just try everything. This is your season to explore. And the more you explore, the closer you get to the best possible fit for yourself as quickly as possible. So that would be advice piece number five. Now, number six, and this ties in with the AI piece a little bit, but be authentic and strive for balance. When you're going into your life and career and finance and all these different things, you have to be authentic, because people do business with people they know, like, and trust, right? And people can spot a fake. People don't promote fakers generally, or at least not for very long, or they get into a position where they get promoted to something and then they fail in publicly in front of everybody. And so a lot of things we see on social media, a lot of things we see in a lot of different areas in online and different things like that, TikTok, YouTube, whatever, we're seeing a very glamorized aspect of life. And there's, you know, the thing is deep fakes, right? There's a lot of artificial reality and fake news, not just in a political sense, but like things that like legitimately are artificially crafted and created to try to manipulate our worldview and our experience in life. And what I believe in the world to come over the next few years is there's going to be a craving for authenticity, and people and products and experiences and businesses that cater and strive for a high level of authenticity, they are going to survive and they're going to thrive. And so in a world that is becoming more and more confusing and less real, it's more artificial, then the authentic goods really stand out. There's a reason why there's been a comeback of people wanting real leather goods and like paper journals and physical books and, you know, things like that. The digital world's still reigning. Don't get me wrong, but there is a huge market for going back to authentic experiences and working with authentic people and experiencing authentic products. Right. And so that is something that you really should lean into, because in a world of fakes, authenticity is going to stand out. And I think that'll be good. And part of that is finding a balance in life, is balancing technology and authenticity and balancing career and family and ministry and life and work and vocation and all that. If you're a well-rounded, well-balanced person that is authentic and genuine and loves people and a person of character and, you know, all these things, if you're a well-rounded, balanced person like that, you're going to stand out from the crowd, and your character is going to be what leads you into success. I believe the Bible even talks about how a man's gift will make room for him in so many words. And so if you strive for authenticity, and one of the greatest gifts that you have is that God made you who you are. And if you're authentic to who you are and who God made you to be, that's going to stand out from the crowd. So be authentic and find balance. And number seven is step up and be responsible. Take responsibility. This, again, this world is full of people in the politics, in the economy, in business, in so many different areas. People are all pointing fingers at somebody else. They're playing the blame game. No one wants to take responsibility. No one wants to take the fall, or, you know, they're trying to always put it off on somebody else. Don't do that. Don't do that. Step up. Be responsible. Be bold. This generation is your generation, right? You're stepping into your future, and be confident in that. And don't let anybody despise your youth, right? You can step up, be a man or woman of God. You can be blessed. You can rise to the top very quickly, right? And so step up, take on the burden of responsibility. This is a season of life where you're transitioning from childhood and young adulthood into full-on adulthood. And eventually, you're going to be, you know, probably parents, you're going to have careers, you're going to be providing for yourself, you're going to be taking care of your parents someday. And so this is a very important season to grow up, to step up and take responsibility. And number eight, I would say, is to travel. If at all possible, travel. Travel around your local country, travel to other countries, experience other cities, other cultures, other worlds, if you will. Maybe that means going to Mars, right? That could be within the realm of possibility, but travel. What it does is it expands your worldview. When you just live in one town and you see that every day, all day, for your entire life, your world is fairly small. But again, there's nothing wrong with coming from a small town or being in just one place or anything like that. There's roots that are built there. So that's not a bad thing entirely. But at the same time, it's good to expand your vision and to see how people in other cities and other countries live, and to see what possibilities there are, and to go visit really rich places, go visit really poor places, and see how people in really poor places can be just as happy or happier than people from very rich areas, right? Someone living in a mansion or a penthouse in a skyscraper may not be as happy as the person who's living in a mud hut, you know, in a third world country. And that's not necessarily to glorify poverty, but when you travel and see things, you understand what makes the world really tick and what really matters. Because we can get caught up pursuing something, you know, a certain ideal life, when in that pursuit, we can miss out on the things that really matter. And so it's good to be wealthy. It's good to be successful. It's good to have fame and acclaim and all these different things. It's good to succeed in life, but success at the cost of relationship and your health, or commitment to God, or seeing the kingdom of God move forward, success is not worth it if you have to sacrifice all the other things that matter, right? The Bible talks about, if a man gain, you know, the whole world and lose his own soul, what does he gain, right? He hasn't gained anything. And so you need to be able to do that, is to travel, see the world, get a grasp on how the world really works and how you fit in it, and also how you can serve others. Because in business, in your career, in your vocation, the more you serve others, and the more people you serve, generally your income's going to go up. And so you want to be able to learn how to serve people and what the needs are out there, both spiritually and naturally. And then lastly, and I saved this for last for a reason, number nine is take advice with a grain of salt, including everything I've said today, right? But people are going to have a lot of advice for you in this stage. Oh, you should go do this, or you should move here, or you should try this, or you should do that, or have you heard about this, or like, there's a lot of experiences to be had. There's a lot of advice to be heard. There's a lot of directions to go. There's many paths before you. And it can be overwhelming. It can be daunting. But at the end of the day, you and God are responsible for your future. And your parents mean well, and they're going to give you advice. Generally, hopefully most parents mean well. your advisors, your college professors, your pastor, your peers, those in your friend group, your business mentors, your career mentors, whoever it is, most people are well-intentioned with their advice. But not all advice is created equal. And you have to, there is wisdom in multitude of counsel, but there can also be some confusion at a young age. And so you need to sort everything out through the word, the lens of the Word of God, and say, okay, God, what do you have for my life? What path am I designed to follow? And then take the advice that fits, like eating a chicken and spit out the bones, right? You want to take everything with a grain of salt and make sure that it's seasoned with the Word of God and matches God's plan and will for your life. And as you're finding that, the Spirit of God will lead and guide you and give you direction if you're sensitive to Him and in His Word and have a relationship with Him. And so that would be my advice, is take advice with a grain of salt and go out there and live life well. Let me just end on that. Go live life well. That is a huge focus. Don't just go get fancy cars and big houses or lots of money or that you know, trophy spouse or anything like that. That's not what life's about. It's not about having a million followers on social media. Go live life well. And a life well lived is worth every sacrifice, every effort, everything that it takes to get there. So anyway, this is my advice to graduates. So congratulations. Now what? You get to go figure out the rest of your life, fans. God bless you, and tune in next time for the next episode.